Today's gospel lesson is from the book of Mark. They went on from there and passed through Galilee. He did not want anyone to know it, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him. And 3 days after being killed, he will rise again." But they did not understand what he was saying and were afraid to ask him. Then they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent, for on the way they had argued with one another who was the greatest. He sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." Then he took a little child and put it among them, and taking it in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Well, it's wonderful to be back here at Highland Park United Methodist, my spiritual home. Always an honor to be here and to look out and see so many familiar faces. When Jeff asked me if I wanted to preach this weekend, I looked at the lectionary readings to see which one I wanted to preach from. The first one was from Proverbs 31, the wife of noble character, the story of women serving God, but also dutifully serving their husbands and cooking and making clothes and bringing respect on him for following their husband so closely. I'm not going anywhere near that one. Instead, I want to look at the reading from the book of Mark, because it is one of those typical Jesus stories where we're hearing about servitude and we're waiting for the answer, and then the answer comes in a strange form. He picks up a child and says, "Be like this child. Bring a child to me and bring people of childlike state to me." Well, what does that have to do with servitude? We'll have to kind of see. The first thing that came to my mind when I read that and tried to ponder what was being said, the actual thing that came to my mind was golf, of all things. You see, the first time I was invited to play golf was one of my college professors. He was an elderly man, and it was him and his two friends, and they needed a foursome. I told him I'd never swung a club before in my life. And he's like, "Oh, it's fine. You'll do okay." And all I'd ever seen was golf on television. So a perfect arc, 300 yards, right into the hole. You know, I was like, "Oh no, I'm going to be terrible." And he lined up, got himself ready, and I was kind of watching him so I could do the same thing. Cocked back and hit the ball perfectly. Went about a foot off the ground, about 75 yards, kind of off at an angle. And they all went, "Oh, that's great." And sure enough, the other two guys hit it just about the same way. So I said, "Oh, well, then I guess it's not that hard. I guess I've got this." So I lined up, I got myself ready, I cocked back, and I tell you, I hit it so hard I didn't even feel it. That's because I didn't hit it, I missed it completely. So I'm standing there looking at the ball, and they say, "Oh, that's okay, you can take a mulligan." And what's a mulligan? Well, a mulligan is a do-over. I found out later they were a little too liberal with that. You're not allowed one on each hole. But the first one is free. Mulligans, freebies. Do we ever take those in life? Do we ever get them in life? Do our jobs and our families and our relationships, do they give us a chance at a do-over? It would be nice. But does God offer us that opportunity? You see, I love the Gospel of Mark because I call it the common sense gospel, because it was written first. And I believe that it was written early enough to where there were people who were eyewitnesses to Christ still alive. So that's why it doesn't really have any resurrection stories. We know that it actually ends with them coming to the empty tomb and being scared. The thing added later, the ending added later was by the church, because that ending was too abrupt. But see, these people didn't need to know about the resurrection. They knew about that. And they didn't need stories about Jesus' noble birth to prove that he was important, because they knew that already. They just said, we want to know what he said we should do. And that's what Mark tells us. And what it tells us is to serve others. Christ is the servant, not coming as the military commander as they expected, not to take them away from the Romans, not to end that kind of oppression, but came to serve. What an odd and counterintuitive thing for a God to do. But he says the first should be the last. And he meant it. And he lived it that way. The greatest example of sacrifice that I can think of is my father. In the 1960s, he was in the Air Force. He had been in since the Second World War. And he was working at NORAD in Colorado. Well, my mother said that she'd had enough. And she was going to move back to Louisiana with the kids. Well, we are from one of those typical large Cajun families. And there are many problems with that family. There's abuse. There's alcoholism. There are poor impulse control. The other two male cousins my age are both in penitentiary for the rest of their lives. My father knew that if she took us back there, that was the kind of people we were going to be around. So he retired from the Air Force, and he moved with us. When he retired again 20-some years later, my father was a security guard at an aluminum plant. But I never heard him complain. He served us with his heart. And he was a difficult man. As I had preached once before, he was raised in an orphanage, and so he was very distant. He never hugged us, tried to say I love you one time, and he physically couldn't do it. I had to finish it for him. But I knew that he loved me because he got up at the age of 68 and worked a 12-hour shift in the middle of the night to put food on the table. That's how he showed us he loved us. And that is the kind of service that Christ asked us to do. But at the same time, there is a little part of the story that maybe my father didn't hear. Because the second part is Christ says, bring the children to me and come to me as a child. You see, children are innocent and sweet and wonderful and loving and open vessels to be filled. And as a parent, I have an 8-year-old son. Surprisingly, one of the funny things I learned about being a parent, because I'd never been around young people, is I met some young people, some little 4-year-old kids, that just weren't very nice. You think all kids are going to be sweet? No, they're not really. But all children are born sweet. Somebody taught them to be that way. They emulate someone's behavior by doing that. And that's what we have to be careful of. Because we take children and we teach them such innocent and loving ways. We teach them to, someone is waiting for the swing, you need to get off, it's their turn. Well, as we get older, we think, wait a minute, but this swing set's in my neighborhood and you don't live here. My taxes paid for this swing set, I bet your dad didn't pay any taxes. You see, as humans, we start to lie about the own stories that we tell our children. We start adding conditions to things. Children love themselves. We teach them not to love themselves if their laugh is different, or they like something we don't agree with, or they dress a different way. We try to get them to conform. Christ is telling us that that childlike innocence and that love of self is important. And my father loved us, but didn't love himself and didn't love his life. He was not a happy man. He didn't take that opportunity that God gives all of us. Remember the commandment. Christ says, love others as you loved yourself. And Christ is forgiving of us for being human. If you notice in this story, he doesn't get mad at them for arguing who's the best, who's going to be first. He doesn't care about that. He just tells them, well, if you want to be first, you have to be last. And he understands our humanity because he was human too. God understands what we go through every day, all the suffering that we do and the sacrifices we must make for ourselves and for each other. But he implores us to come to him in love of one another, but namely of ourselves. And I know so many people who don't love themselves, who cannot forgive themselves for something that they did, even though Christ has long ago forgiven you. Or people who cannot look back without regret on a decision or a relationship that didn't work out and they blame themselves for it. You have served God. Now bring your childlike self to God. Be innocent. Be new. Be a vessel to be filled. Come to God as loving yourself to be healed. You see, there are no mulligans in life if you mess up a job or a relationship, but there are always mulligans in the heart. There is always Christ there to forgive and to love, to understand our human nature, to understand how we fail, but mostly to understand that every day begins anew, that every decision made opens a new doorway, that every new doorway is a new possibility open for us. Christ tells us every day, it's okay to take that mulligan. Amen.